Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
O'clock here on this Friday in the big city that is New York City. The sports day for Saturday is completely jacked. We'll talk about that coming up. Plus, I did watch the Juan Soto two-part documentary that was put together by the New York Mets, and I was very entertained by part two, and there's a part of part two that I want to play for Tiki and Sean that may piss them off, that may anger them. So we'll get to that coming up at around 4:30. But there is a lot on the table right now at 888-808-1019. If rewind the program, if you've missed anything, Aaron Rodgers was in Pittsburgh meeting with the Steelers, but has now left. I believe he will eventually meet with the New York Football Giants. I am defending the Knicks, not because they're playing well, but because we all need to remind ourselves on March 21st, they're going to be the 3 seed, and they're not going to be this crappy going into the postseason. Plus, Sean went scorched earth on his New York Ranger team, and obviously there is St. John's excitement around New York City. So a lot going on, and yes, we're less than a week away from the start of the baseball season. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from Bayshore. How are you, Chris?
Hey, guys, how are you? Good show. Listen, I got to weigh in on the Rangers. I've been watching Rangers hockey for over 50 years. I remember the Stemkowski and Teddy Irvin line. I mean, it's been a long time, and I mean, you know, it's bad when you have guys doing the you know, in between periods, just all over them. For the lack of effort on this team is so noticeable. It's hard to believe. I mean, you watch a hockey game, and I've never seen such a stark difference between one team's effort and the other, regardless of talent or whatever it might be.
Well, but here's what I don't understand is. Peter Laviolette has been here for 2 years. This is his second year here. In his first year, and this is a guy who has a lot of head coaching experience, has had success, they get to a conference finals. How in year two has he lost the room to where there's no effort when you're in a playoff race? Can you explain that one to me?
There was a lot of extra stuff off the ice. The Rangers let go of their head trainer, which is apparently pissed off Chris Kreider, and there was stuff going on with that. The whole Jacob Trouba mess where they openly, literally did not want him back, and it came down to his wife's residency to the point he finally wilted in season. Imagine removing your captain from a locker room, a guy that was respected there, even though the team and organization viewed him as a declining player. And I just think it rocked the core, and there was a lot of them that frankly just didn't respond well. And I think that, you know, you need somebody to step up as a leader in that room, and nobody did.
So what do? You're going to blow it up at the end of the year?
No, I don't think you blow it up, because I think what they've actually done in season, like adding a guy like JT Miller, who felt like the captain the last couple nights trying to rally the team, I think that they've in many ways already reshaped the core on the fly, but haven't had enough time to gel and reset. And I think a full another, you know, training camp offseason with what looks like will be
that
fundamentally
doesn't excuse
new core.
The lack of effort when you're in a playoff race. No, they're right there, bro. They can make the playoffs. So how do you explain lack of effort when you just said, oh, they're fixing it on the fly? JT Miller's here. He's like a captain.
I think that there's still a lot of guys there, like Kreider, Mika, who only picked it up lately with JT Miller, that I think the damage has already been done and the damage has been broken. I'm sorry. And I don't think they've had a lack of effort in every game either. That's unfair. They beat Columbus a week ago.
Let's go to Josh on Long Island. How are you, Josh?
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, man?
Yeah, I mean, I got to touch on that comment that was made about Cat. Like, that, I mean...
From
the fact that I'm like agreeing with Evan, on a Knicks take is kind of crazy. But people are acting like before the Leon Rose tenure, like we weren't living in squalor for 15 years as a fan base. Like it's March, like it's the NBA, and I'm not one of those fans that only watches in the postseason. I grind every game, but it's March, and the reality of it is the players are ultimately not the issue. And I'm a Tibbs guy. I've always been a Tibbs guy, but the reality of it is I don't know if this team can win a championship with Tibbs. And someone touched on it, but he doesn't like resting his players.
Yes. And
the reason why his guys are in positions where they get hurt at the end of the year, and I'm tired of the excuse of, well, they were injured against Indiana last year, and you're right. You don't know when you're going to get that opportunity again. But the reality is the Knicks have talent on the team, and to act like Karl Anthony Towns is not an upgrade from Julius Randle is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's...
The guy has one less season and has better statistics in every single category. And to act like he's just going to be soft in the postseason rather than watching him play a game there is just such an asinine take. I'm sorry.
The jury is still out. Kerry dropping bombs. and she signs off.
As soon as Kerry said it, I was like, oh, my God. Calling Carol Anthony Towns Julius 2.0. She has a chance to be right, and I hope for your sake she's not right. The way she would be right is if Cat completely no-shows the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think
like you say, he no-shows into the fourth quarter.
Well, that's my concern. Like, Cat's not a perfect player.
Yeah.
Our last caller's right, though. If you've watched this team all year, he's had overall a really good season.
Right.
Statistically, it's one of the best years of his career. My concern has been, in the final few minutes of games, he disappeared.
Right, but you have to be careful about looking at statistics and letting that tell your story, because it doesn't tell the story. Ultimately, winning and losing comes down to who makes plays in crunch time. It's the whole Pat Mahomes story that we talked about all season long. Pat Mahomes had statistics worse than Aaron Rodgers. But how many games did they lose?
Exactly.
While trying? One.
Exactly.
They lost one game while trying. They were not good. They were a compromised team, especially offensively. Defensively, they were outstanding. But offensively, Pat Mahomes was nowhere near the MVP player that we saw from previous seasons, yet he always found ways to win
games. No, you're right.
Period.
He was a winner. I do want to defend myself on one thing, because even with that caller defending me, he said, boy, agreeing with Evan on a Knicks take is like crazy. I didn't have enough time to send this to Connor, so I will do this through my phone. This is a clip that I think should be played every time someone wonders if they should agree with Evan on a Knicks take. Here we go.
Evan, you're exactly right about the Knicks.
That's it. Evan, you're exactly right.
Go.
Yeah.
You're exactly right about the Knicks.
Yeah. Evan,
let's go Knicks.
Evan, you're exactly right about the Knicks. Sometimes I'm right about the Knicks. Sometimes people blame me for stuff about the Knicks. Like Joe in Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Tiki, you got to start calling Evan the Mush. Like from Bronx Tale.
Right? What did he mush this time?
Didn't he say we're going to beat San Antonio, we're going to beat Charlotte? What happened?
Yeah, I got that one wrong.
Yeah, he did.
But you know what?
One.
I'm not the only one that got that wrong, and I wish I had the audio on cue to play it, but someone I deeply respect got that wrong, too. And that person, of course, is someone that you can meet tomorrow with Sean Morash as their guest bartending at...
The Tap Room in Huntington, across from the Paramount.
Boomer Esiason declared the Islanders were about... Oh, the Islanders.
The Rangers.
Not even the Rangers. Boomer Esiason declared that the Knicks were about to have a 9-game winning streak. He looked at the schedule, and he said, win, 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 win.
Oh, God, and he did that thing?
Yeah, so he's the mush. I ain't the mush.
Yeah.
I think he deserves more mush blame than I do for the Knicks losing their last two games. Ozzie in Woodridge. What's up, Ozzie?
What's up, everybody?
Hi.
I think Carl Anthony Towns is Crimelo Anthony 2.0. You know, big, little chunky around the waist.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Face, big for nothing type thing, soft.
All right.
You know, that's just my opinion. I hope you guys are able to work out the kinks of sending Sean out on the streets in the future.
Yeah, today we tried it, it didn't work. Sometimes you try stuff, it doesn't work. It really was just a warm-up for opening day. Because Sean is going to be at Yankee Stadium. We have a very abbreviated show on opening day, but we want Sean in the building. We want him talking to Yankee fans. But more importantly, and I think you'll like this, Ozzie, we want him eating Mr. Softy ice cream. So to execute all that, we want to make sure our equipment is working. So we will have that ready to go for next Thursday.
Cool. Man a tea on the street.
I'm a fat moron.
They're not all home runs, Oz.
Oh, manatee. I got it. Sean was going to wear a T-shirt.
Yeah. All I have to say is Connor saved that one. Because during the silence of Ozzie's line, he whips out an old Sean Moore ass drop, and it's like, all right, he saved it a little bit.
By the way, Oz got me thinking. I thought he was going to go somewhere with Loogie being off. Can I get some thoughts? I have sources close to me in Atlantic City that tell me Tommy didn't watch a second of the Knicks game last night, yet when he found out they lost, went to Twitter to address the masses and pretend that he watched the game.
Well,
won't lead us.
I thought that last night. And
oh, did you? Okay.
No, I did. No, I'll tell you exactly why. Tommy Lugauer's off yesterday and today because for him, and I think this is very, very cool, he has a tradition of watching the NCAA tournament's first 2 days. So if that's your tradition, which I think most of us would admit, badass, wish we could do it, but we don't. He does great, and he does that every year. Good for him. If you're going to Atlantic City to watch the NCAA tournament, it's unlikely you're watching the Knicks. It just is, because you're literally doing this trip for the tournament. So I thought about it last night, and I was like, I wonder if he's going to tweet, probably just seeing the score on his phone. He tweets generically anyway. And so I'm not surprised that's the case, but I have to almost defend it a little bit in that.
Because he's there specifically to watch the tournament.
Yeah.
Right. No, no, no.
And that's his shtick. Like, that's his thing.
I don't have an issue, but I think, Evan, you have scared the daylights out of Tommy deep down.
Yes.
That he doesn't realize it's okay.
He didn't have to post yesterday.
Yeah, it's cool. You don't have to post after last night's game. Nobody's going to crush you for it, but he's scared of you, Evan.
No, so maybe. You're right. If the Knicks won last night, he should have taken the night off. He didn't need to do the dude's damage thing. Because they lost in such a pathetic way, he knew he was going to get heat from us if he skipped out on the podium, as he likes to say. So that's why I think he handled it right. Honestly, like, he didn't watch the game, which is totally fine. Like, come on, we got to cut him some slack on that. And he needed to at least tweet so he didn't skip the podium. So I think Tommy did nothing wrong.
Okay. All right.
Lukey.
You agree with me, Tinker?
I do agree.
Okay.
No L needed.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him an L. I'm just, a little bit of a coward. That's what I'm calling.
What should he have done?
He doesn't have to tweet anything. You're off the grid. You're on vacation.
But Sean,
thinks he's going to come back and go, Evan's going, did you watch the Knicks game? You missed the Knicks. He's scared. He should not be scared of you. That's what I'm saying.
But he's right. I would have killed him.
But that's the problem. He shouldn't care.
Yeah.
I would have said, dude, you skip out on the Spur game. And he could have said, but I was in Atlantic City, which is a valid excuse. But you still skipped out on a bad loss.
If you had said that, would you have let it slide?
No, I ripped him.
See,
that's the problem. He shouldn't care what Evan Roberts thinks.
Look at this. This is like so two-faced of Evan.
What?
You gave him the excuse why it's okay, but then if he had come back and given that exact excuse that you suggested, you would have ripped him for it.
Because they lost. If they won the game, he could have skipped.
Unbelievable.
Honestly, they won the game.
You see what a mental blender you put this guy in?
I'm mentally blended from him. For him. Not even him.
I think it makes
you're a problem, Evan. You're a real, real problem.
I think it makes perfect sense. Let's go to Barry in Santa Monica. What's up, Barry?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. You long-time Giants fan.
I appreciate
pleasure
you,
pleasure to watch you all those years, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sean, love your passion for the Rangers. I go back, I had Eddie Jockman poster on my wall when I was a little kid.
Love it.
I think the wrecking ball has just begun. I think Lavalette was brought in to sort of navigate these guys to the finals and see if he could push them over the edge. I think that group has gone as far as they can go. Zibanejad and Kreider are like brainiacs. I don't know what they're doing half the time. They're on the ice.
Yeah, but Zibanejad's woken up with Miller. One of those guys is going to be gone. They can't destroy this whole core. They've already done enough, got rid of Trouba and company.
I don't think so. I think if I could talk Pat Panarin to waive his no move clause and take him next over the season to some team that could win, now I'd give him up and let Lafreniere, kind of free Lafreniere to be the guy. Kreider, I love the guy, but he's spent. And Zibanejad, he did okay for like maybe 5 games on the right wing. He disappears. He made that comment the other night. I don't care how we play, as long as we win.
But Barry, the problem, and thanks for the call, the problem the Rangers have, they gave away too many no movement clauses. You're not going to get 15 guys to waive a no trade clause in the offseason. They're not going to reshape everybody.
Why do you think in hockey they call it no movement? But in every other sport, it's just a no trade clause.
I blame it on the Canadians. You spell center the wrong way too, the R before the E. Defenseman has a C in it. Enough.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good point. Sonny's in Malvern. Hey, Sonny.
Sonny, you got to be there.
Sonny's
always there.
I know.
He's
Sonny's
reliable.
Sonny's a reliable caller. That's why when he's not there, it's like, what the hell actually happened? Rob is on Long Island. Hey, Rob.
All right, I'll cover for Sonny right now. I'll be Sonny.
Appreciate you, Sean. I got
to tell you, Sean, last year during the Ranger playoffs, I was really down on you because my wife called your show one day and she told you that she painted her nails Ranger colors and you reached to buy her a drink and then you blew her off at the game.
Damn.
We're really down on you. But I'm in total agreement with what you just said. I'm a season ticket holder. I am tired of watching this crap. And the last 2 games proved to me that this is a mess. Laviolette has to go. I would get rid of Drury, too. I would clean house. And you know
I would agree
I want,
with that.
Sean? And I know. First of all, Lafreniere, he's in, like, the witness protection program. I don't know what happened to that guy. But you know who I want? And I know this guy has a lot of baggage, and there'll be a lot of controversy. But you know what? At this point,
Quenville.
I'm spending a crap load of money for my – no, yeah, exactly. I want Joel Quenville. I want him. Enough
now, Joel
already.
Quenville, if I'm not mistaken, was fired because he knew too much about, like, that scandal.
Yeah, there was a lot of
Chicago,
problem.
If I'm not mistaken.
So I don't think the Rangers will go there, but you know what? If Dolan's desperate, maybe. I just wanted to really ask him. He wants me to take his wife out.
Well, I want to go back on that because that was the most interesting thing. So this woman, his wife, called up, said she had painted her nails Ranger colors, and then you said you would take her out for a drink?
So I was doing a whole Ranger pep rally show. And it was right before the Florida Panther conference final game I went to. The problem was, yeah, I'd arrange, you know, I'll meet you, whatever, by your section. She was like, let's go, you know, let's have a pregame drink.
What happened?
I got access to a suite. And I.
That's why you ditched
her? That was that game.
Yeah.
But even if you got access to a suite, don't you have to go down to the section and fulfill your duty?
Okay. So here's, Evan, I know, like, you're a bit of a peasant when it comes to this stuff, so let me explain how this works. When I get access to the suite.
Bit of a peasant.
There's a game.
This is Simone.
It just actually wasn't Simone.
Simone.
Yeah, I got hooked up through Zach Gelb through another guy. Mm. When you get up there,
yeah,
it wasn't my connection to the suite. So I felt odd not schmoozing a little bit and having the drinks up there. I felt weird leaving and asking to be let back in.
All right. I think what we need to do, and I'll use the word we.
Okay.
We need to make up for this. So I think that guy, you have his number because he had called in. I think you need to call him back personally.
I think his wife had DM'd me on Twitter, I think.
Okay, then slide back
in. I should tell him that.
Slide back into the DMs and find a Ranger game. Maybe Rangers Islanders. Ask if they're going to UBS. We're going to the game, and I'll be with you, so you don't have to feel nervous.
Okay.
And we got to get her a drink. You made all a right. promise,
no,
man.
No, I agree. I don't want to not be Mr. Blue Collar. But, you know, look, I'm snobby now. When I get the sweet invite, I'm not coming down to the peasants.
Well, we're going to sit in regular.
I'm sorry, Sean.
You did it to me, Tiki.
You really
so
I didn't take a single snap in the NFL, and you put this life on me.
I apologize so bad. I just wanted you to feel some of the good stuff.
And I do feel the good stuff.
But
I love the good stuff.
You could feel the good stuff with also understanding the
real
stuff. By
the way, he earned it. He almost got punched in the face.
That's true.
I have no problem with him sitting in a suite. I have a problem with him reneging on a promise to this woman to get her a drink.
Evan, you're right. The problem is, we're going to look back in 20 years, you're going to be the first one out of all three of us that needs knee replacement surgery because you're always walking up the damn stairs to your crappy seats.
Oh, come on.
Me and Tiki take exclusive elevators, man.
Slide into her DMs, ask if she's going to UBS for Islanders Rangers. We will be there. We're sitting in regular seats. That's the plan. And you'll take care of it.
All right.
I'm going to sit in the seat while you do it, though, because it'll be kind of awkward if I'm there. I don't want to be involved in your date with a married woman.
Yeah. Clearly he wants me in.
Yeah. When we come back, there is a brand new documentary the Mets put together on the pursuit of Juan Soto. I watched it for you. It was very entertaining. But there is something in this documentary that may piss off Yankee fans to the oomph degree.
And I'll see you at 5 o'clock.
And since, no, you ain't going anywhere. And since Yankee fans aren't going to watch this documentary, we'll bring it to you. It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan. It is day two of the NCAA tournament. We got the games on the AM side. We're doing our shows on the FM side. And the lack of upsets, for the most part, continues. There was a 12-5 upset today. Colorado State beat Memphis. But believe it or not, Colorado State was favored in the game. So even though it was a 12-5 matchup, they were laying a point and a half.
Again, that's the one we were talking about yesterday. Yep. Was there a 12-5 yesterday as well?
I don't think there was
a 12-5.
Yeah, McNeese.
Oh, was that a 12-5?
Yeah. All right,
there you go.
Always the 12-5 for
You're
some
right.
reason.
Iowa State as a 3-seed advanced. Alabama in the 2-15 matchup against Robert Morris got a little bit of a scare, but they ended up pulling it out.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor won the 9-8 matchup as the 9-seed against Mississippi State. And right now, Duke is just destroying Mount St. Mary's, and North Carolina is down by 13 midway through the first half.
So much for North Carolina being hot off of that first four, huh?
It's 11 minutes into the game, Sean.
They're missing a ton of shots here, Ev. You got to be on top of the games and watch the game.
I understand that, and they're off to a rocky start.
Sean, we're actually doing a show.
Right.
So yeah, you know. Watching the game is like kind of counterproductive to doing a show.
Like what I'm doing is I'm watching the scoreboard bug.
I'm trying to show up, Evan.
I'm watching the scoreboard bug, but again, like the game isn't over. That's all I'm saying to you.
Yes.
All
right.
What are you, squeaking? You're all right. Are you making a prediction?
I'm just saying it was something we had discussed earlier in the week about North Carolina watching go on a run.
I predicted them to go to the Elite Eight. I'll be wrong if they lose. What do you want me to do?
Look, we've all been wrong plenty this week.
I mean, it's the bracket. Like, we're all wrong half the time.
I'm bottom of the barrel trash.
No kidding. So, for those that are unaware, the Mets produced this. They put together a two-part documentary series called The Pursuit. It's about the pursuit and then the eventual signing of Juan Soto.
Pathetic.
I don't think there's anything pathetic about it.
Why so angry? Why so mad?
Yeah, what's wrong with a fun documentary? Down,
embarrassing fluff piece.
It is a fluff piece.
It is a little bit of a fluff piece, but part one I thought was kind of boring, I'll be honest with you. It was more just rehashing the season, so I didn't feel like I learned anything. I did watch part two today, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it. So a couple of things I'd like to play. First of all, Sean is talking out of school about, what a fluff piece, it sucks. Can I at least play you the first 30 seconds, and then you tell me, would you find this interesting? Is that fair?
This is the first time in my life I hate what my career is. Okay, play it.
Even Tiki, because Tiki has to be open-minded. You're not interested in this documentary.
All right.
No, not really, but I will listen.
I'm going to separate fandom. I'm going to sever myself.
Forget fandom. I want you to imagine everybody in the audience right now, like you're driving in your car, you're a Yankee fan, Met fan, Cincinnati Reds fan, doesn't matter. Would you watch this?
It's November in New York City. The echoes of the Dodgers winning the World Series have now faded. And what grew louder was the talk of the most important free agent decision in history.
Oh, God.
This is the one.
This is the free agent we as Met fans have waited for.
It's Juan Soto because he's this generational hitter.
Feels like the Mets have had their eyes on Soto for a long time.
It has brought baseball's offseason to the forefront.
Would you watch that, Teak?
No.
Really? Didn't get to you?
No, it just sounded cheesy.
It sounded very cheesy.
Cheesy? All right, let's get down to the meat then. These guys would not watch it. Brandon Nimmo revealed something. See, here's the thing about documentaries. My test is, did I learn anything?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I didn't learn anything in the first part of The Pursuit, but I did learn a few things in the second part of The Pursuit, including Brandon Nimmo revealing how he pursued Juan Soto.
I ended up, reaching out to Juan and sent him a text and just kind of said, hey, you know, I know you've got your suitors and everything, but like, we're trying to win here year in and year out. Like, we're not just trying to do this one and done thing. Like, this is Steve is a guy that he wants to be in there every single year. And so if you want to be a part of something that we're going to be competing every single year, and we're going to be laying it all out on the line, like, we would love to have you.
Wow, that's a long text message.
Oh.
Can you imagine how many characters that message must have been?
I hope he texted it, because if he voice texted it, Juan Soto would have never signed with the Mets. Because that sounded like not. Here's the only problem with Brandon Nimmo saying.
That's odd. Who's texts that long?
Seriously. It was definitely brief. And also, did Soto answer? Because I thought he changed his number.
Oh, that's a great question. Did he answer? Let's hear more from Brandon Nimmo on his text exchange with Juan Soto.
He knows there's no better place than New York, but if we're that team that brings that World Series back to this fan base since 86, like, you'll never be forgotten. And he appreciated that and said, you know, we're looking at all options right now, but, you know, I appreciate you reaching out.
Wow. So he responded. And I think the worry you may have, Sean, Tiki.
Yeah.
How come Aaron Judge didn't send that text instead of making the excuse of I didn't have his number?
Brandon Nimmo had his number. He just played a full season with them, and he knows playing with the Yankees, we're trying to win it every year. They just went to the World Series.
So he didn't need to text.
Of course he didn't need to.
I also have this question, Tiki. Yeah. At what point in free agency did Scott Boras make Juan Soto change his number? Because was this sent like 2 days after the Yankees were eliminated, in which case Judge was still in touch with Juan Soto? They didn't talk after the season. You know what I mean? Or did this happen 2 days before?
I don't know what you mean. Here are the facts, just to lay it out. Aaron Judge never texted Juan Soto, and his answer was he changed his number. Brandon Nimmo sent him like a gobbledygook of words to him. Juan responded by saying, hey, I really appreciate it. Everyone's involved. Right. I'll keep you posted.
And he signed anyways.
And he signed with the New York Mets. And you at the time were mad that Aaron Judge didn't reach out. Well, as more information comes out, I would be madder if I'm you. That was your opinion, not my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And Brandon Nimmo texted me, told you what he wrote, and Juan wrote him back.
Nimmo's a Boras guy?
Yes.
Okay. So Boris let Nimmo know, here's the number to text him on. He needs to be nudged
is
to
Garrett
encourage
Cole on the New York Yankees?
Uh-huh.
Is he represented by Scott Boris?
You're not listening to me.
I'll say it again.
Yes, but you're not listening to my reasoning.
What am I not listening to?
My reasoning is Juan Soto already knew the Yankees are a team that is going to contend year in and year out. Juan Soto, I'm guessing, had some... You heard what Nimmo said he had to say, right?
Yeah.
We're in this for the long haul. I'm guessing part of Juan Soto's doubts about the Mets were, well, you know, this was a one-year thing for them. Do they continue to contend? And Boris, who wanted the Mets to very much be into the bitter end to make as much money, probably told his Met client to say, you got to text Juan and explain this to him.
So the months have gone by, and instead of hearing this and saying, hey, this reinforces my anger at Aaron Judge, you've decided to make up fan fiction to explain it away.
Knowing Scott Boris, that sounded probably like what happened.
It's making up a story because we don't know versus you were pissed off that Aaron Judge didn't text him.
I was.
Now we're hearing that Brandon Nimmo not only texted him, but here are his messages. Juan wrote back, and you're like, well, you know what probably happened is, so what changed in the last few months?
I thought this would be great information for you. I don't.
As a Yankee fan to say, geez, this reinforces my opinion.
I don't trust Scott Boris from a public perception in this. I think he kind of tried to snake and weasel Juan Soto, like lead the horse to water there. And I think that's what this Nimmo text is
about. You think Scott Boris tried to lead Juan Soto to the Mets?
Well, because I think
is that your new thing?
I believe ultimately Scott Boris knew Steve Cohen would go as far as he possibly could to be the highest bidder.
Yeah.
And Juan Soto needed all that last convincing. That's where we heard all the stuff about family BS and the suites and all this other stuff. I get how the game is played by Scott Boris, okay?
Well, you've definitely flipped over the last few months. You've gone into this, I'll make up stories to make myself feel better phase, which I respect. I mean, what are you going to do?
Can't be bitter about it forever. Evan, you could hold court and do this all the time. Do you think that Juan Soto's a Met because Brandon Nimmo reached out?
I think Juan Soto's a Met for a myriad of reasons, with the number one reason being they offered him the most money.
I agree. And I think there's a 0.0% reason that factor that Brandon Nimmo texted him and that led to anything.
Sean, I was not the one who was pissed off when Judge didn't text him.
Sure.
You were.
I agree.
So this isn't about my opinion or what I'm thinking. This is about, I watched a documentary that you guys have no interest in watching, which is totally fine, and I brought you information that I thought you would care about since you were the one mad at Judge for not texting him. I'm hearing a million different excuses on why
that doesn't mean anything.
So what does this mean for you, Evan?
Yeah.
For Nimmo.
What does it mean for me?
Does this make you like Nimmo more?
It's a great question, Tiki. So I'll be selfish for a second. What I have learned over the last few weeks by listening to Brandon Nimmo, listening to his interviews, and listening to this, is not any kind of bitterness, but he's a captain too. And I don't think Lindor just being named captain is like this easy, squeezy, everybody's happy kind of thing. I think Brandon Nimmo believes, or maybe rightfully so, he's a captain too. And I think that we need to be a little careful with the whole captain stuff because the last thing I want is that stupidity, because it is kind of stupid. It's just a C, to come between two great leaders like Lindor and Nimmo. I don't think there's any issues with them.
You think Nimmo would get jealous? You think? Seriously?
I don't think he'd get jealous. I think Nimmo is like one of the classiest guys in the world.
I would agree, so but I don't understand why this would be an issue.
I get a vibe from him when talking about leadership that he fashions himself as one of the really important leaders of this team. Mm. And so what I'm saying is, no, I don't think it would come between them. I just don't know if I'd mess with it. Because I think Nimmo is a very important leader on this team. And I think that message and how in detail he went shows you. I mean, that's not a guy just saying, hey, we'd love to have you.
Right.
That's a guy who did a full court press to get Juan Soto to come here, and we can mock it all we want. I'll tell you why I think it's important. On Sports Talk Radio, when we sat here and debated Mets-Yankees, why would he sign with the Mets? Why would he sign with the Yankees? One of the arguments a Met fan would make that Sean can't even deny is that winning with the Mets would be more special because we never win. You win with the Yankees, well, a lot of guys have won. You know, A-Rod's won, and he's barely celebrated, right? Mm. But if you win with the Mets, a franchise that hasn't won since 1986, you'll be lionized. I don't know if enough athletes understand that. Brandon Nimmo explained it.
Wow.
And that matters, and I appreciate that Nimmo did that, because you never know. That ego that Soto has, that little ego of, I want to be a god in this town, maybe he realized through that Nimmo message, the only way I can truly be a god is by saving the Mets and not just being one of many that's won with the Yankees.
This is clearly a Met-Jet thing. So how soon until Juan Soto is on Pat McAfee every week? How soon until Juan Soto is telling the world about his daily travails or successes or, I don't know, jaunts to wherever so that he can be recognized as the savior, the tribal king of the New York Mets? Because that sounds awfully familiar to what Aaron Rodgers did when he came to the New York Jets. As you were just going on this diatribe, making Juan Soto and Brandon Nimmo feel like this, I don't know, epic story that's being created via puff pieces by the New York Mets. And to, it sounded so much like, I'm like, man, is he talking about Aaron Rodgers? Is he talking about Juan Soto? You talking about Aaron Rodgers? You talking about Juan Soto?
But
it sounded exactly the same.
Did I say anything that was wrong?
No, you didn't.
Tell me.
But trust me, Juan Soto.
Tell me.
Listen to me, not the Met fan in this room. You don't want to be like Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I never said Aaron Rodgers.
But how you were describing it, it sounded exactly like Aaron Rodgers. I want to come here to be the savior. Where are the similarities? I'm one of the greatest players ever to play this game. Oh, by the way, I took my previous team to a championship, and it was a lot because of me. I bounced around a little bit. Right? That sounded a lot like Aaron Rodgers. Stop it. Get that thought out of your mind, out of your brain. Don't even make the association start to click with people like me, because we will turn on him. As a city, we will turn on him.
This is so good.
Am I wrong?
Evan, yes. That so
winning, with the, winning with the Mets, is it more special because they've never won?
No,
just like winning with the Jets is more special? What?
This look, I hope. You know how you often say I don't always represent most of the Met fans when you talk about yourself?
Yeah, and,
you know,
I'm just one guy.
I hope that this is the case in here. Because what you are insinuating right now is that Juan Soto, for two reasons, chose the Mets. One, that Brandon Nimmo, who, by the way, if he's hitting 230, will be the first one Juan Soto's looking and saying, Stearns, hey, we got to figure out an upgrade in the outfield. Number two, Juan Soto, for his greater play, you think he doesn't believe in himself? Why would he look at the Mets and go, that's such a pathetic organization, I could be the best there? No, no, no. Juan Soto would beat his chest and go, I'm better than Babe Ruth ultimately over the next decade. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to be the Yankee. So I think that's ridiculous to say that.
No, but even when Juan was a Yankee, and I made this point to you, and I thought you agreed with me, maybe you didn't, that as great a talent as Juan is, there's nothing he could ever do to surpass some of the Yankee legends.
No, you're right about that.
And that's my point. There is something he can do to surpass every Met this side of Tom Seaver. Every single one of them. Am I wrong about that?
Yes.
Am I wrong that he has a chance to have a statue outside of City Field?
He
has a chance.
But he's got to win a championship to do that.
I know.
For sure.
Of course. But
I think you're right. My point is, when it comes to a player like Juan Soto, and ego's the wrong word, but I think any athlete that's great has to have some sort of ego. I don't think he looks at the Yankee position and goes, well, I'll never be that guy. I think you believe that you'll be the best of those guys.
No, but it's not about he can never be that player. Brandon Nimmo articulated a point, and I totally understand why you brought up Rodgers, because you're right. We said that about the Jets and Rodgers. We would say that about anyone who comes to the Jets or anyone who comes to the Mets, and I know the Knicks don't have like a competitor that's won, but we would say it about the Knicks. We said it about LeBron.
Yeah.
Hey, LeBron, you want to win a championship? You win in New York, it'll count even higher than winning in L.A., as crazy as that sounds. But that's the way Knicks fans believe. So all Brandon did was articulate a point that a lot of Met fans have, which is if you win one with the Mets, you're a god. If you win one with the Yankees, you're like a lot of guys. Mm. And that can't be argued. You can laugh about it, but again, tell me where I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, you're not.
Thank you. But that's all I'm saying. Thank you.
You just argue that if you do it a lot, if you win multiple times, then you become the god of gods.
With whom?
The Yankees.
Nah, you'll never be Jeter.
Okay.
You'll never be Jeter.
But you know what, Evan? He'll never be Jeter. You could find
if he wins three championships and a couple MVPs.
With the Yankees?
With the Yankees.
He'll never be Jeter.
He'll never be Jeter, you're right. But will social media make him bigger than Jeter?
I don't know what social media does, but...
And Jeter wasn't Mantle, and Mantle wasn't DiMaggio, and DiMaggio wasn't Ruth, and Ruth wasn't Gary.
You guys are just not seeing the basic point that if Juan does have an ego, that could have appealed to it in a major way?
The basic point, you hapless lover of the Mets, is this.
I don't think it was about an ego.
He got the most money! That's
exactly.
What it went. Not
I think
Nimmo
it was
text.
Ultimately about the money.
That's it.
Okay.
So you guys can fluff up your little YouTube piece, beat your chest and go, oh my God, Brandon Nimmo texted him. Oh my God, he wants a statue. He signed with the Mets because he got the most money, and Brandon Nimmo needed to, you know, push him over the edge or whatever the hell Boris Trick ran he ran. That was
Boris
it.
Trick.
Yeah.
He texted him. He wanted the guy
Boris
on the team,
Trick.
And he recruited him.
Brandon Nimmo was, you know, a nine paired up, and his ace in the hole was John Heyman. We know how the whole thing went.
Chris is calling from Staten Island.
Can't
how are you, Chris?
It.
Hey, guys, big fan. Love you guys. Listen to you every day with my dad on the way home.
Appreciate
you,
Chris.
Listen, man, this guy left, yeah, maybe it was the money, but he was never, like you're saying, he's never going to be Jeter. He was never going to beat Aaron Judge. That's the fact. He was never going to be the guy for the next 3 to 5 years. You know what I mean?
And
you're right. You're absolutely right, Evan. If he wins a World Series with the Mets, 86, you know what I'm saying? He's a god. You're absolutely right.
I don't think that. Thank you, Chris. And I think you're right about that. And this could be construed as a negative towards Juan Soto.
What do you mean?
You could look at a player who said, hey, I don't want to be second fiddle to Aaron Judge. I don't want to just be one of many guys in Yankee history. That's not enough for me.
Bowed out from it.
I want to be a god. And you can look at that and say, yeah, there's a negative to that. That's up to you out there. That's up to people in the audience to say, I don't like that. That's his thinking. Or I do like that. That's his thinking. I'll be very straightforward with you. I just like that he's a Met. I don't really care why. I don't care if it's the ego. I don't care if it's strictly the money. I don't care if it was the family. I don't care if it was Brandon Nimmo promising him all sorts of things. Like, he picked the Mets and I'm happy about it. But I do think that there is an appeal to going somewhere and knowing, boy, if I ever win there, I'm a god. And I'll bring this back to Aaron Rodgers real brief, because we kind of touched on this with the Giants. Let's say Aaron Rodgers picks the Giants, comes to your team, and they win the Super Bowl next year. He'll be celebrated in Giant history. He will never be Eli Manning.
But he'll be Jeff Hostetler.
That's fine. He will never be Eli Manning.
Okay, so what?
But that's my point. Like, just because.
But I don't think Aaron Rodgers needs to be.
I agree. He may not care. I'm just.
I don't think he cares. I really don't. His legacy is solidified as a Green Bay Packer, Hall of Famer. He's going in wearing the green and the gold.
That's fine.
It's 100% fine.
Maybe Juan Soto cares.
Maybe. Because Juan Soto's younger.
That's my only point. That's why I'm bringing up Rodgers.
And
he may not care.
And Juan Soto's in a unique spot because kind of not similar to, but I guess kind of similar to Kevin Durant. Like, who owns him yet? Or, you know, now, ultimately, if Juan Soto goes and he's amazing for the next 10 years with the Mets, he'll be a Met.
Oh, he'll be a Met unless he opts out and ends up somewhere else. Because he's
going
to be a Met for 10 years.
That's what I mean. But he
numbers.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
He's a journeyman. It's kind of crazy. Just think about the greatest player, one of the best players of this generation, because I think it's probably Ohtani, but one of the best players of this generation, and he doesn't have a team yet.
Yeah, I think
Now he does,
yeah.
He's got to still do it with this team.
100%. Like, you know, baseball and sports is crazy. I mean, crazy things happen. Some kind of massive injury, and knock on wood. Maybe he doesn't put together a decade of greatness, but he has signed a 15-year contract. He's 26 years old. He's going to be a Met.
Yes.
But you're right. The beginning of his career has been, well, he's not a National, even though he won there.
Yeah.
He's certainly not a Padre. He was only with the Yankees for a year.
Right.
So you're right. Eventually, he becomes a New York Met. Let's go to Lou in Brooklyn. Hey, Lou.
What up, Lou?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Love to listen to you guys on my way home from work every day as I sit in traffic on the Belt.
God, that sucks. The Belt is the worst parkway in the world.
I raise you to cross Bronx.
That's not a beltway.
Well said.
I got a kind of a crazy hypothetical question for you guys to be. So here's my question, right? So we fast forward 10, 15 years down the road. Judge puts up monster numbers every year in the Bronx, you know, year after year, crazy numbers. Soto has some good years, doesn't put up the crazy numbers that Judge does, but he brings a ring to Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Who leaves the better legacy in New York City?
I mean, it's clearly Soto because of the ring.
That's the ring, yeah.
Winning championships is fair or not, the way things are measured. But I also think when we talk about legacies with the Yankees versus legacies with the Mets, they're completely different. Like, Alex Rodriguez was a free agent going into 2001. And I've said this to you, Tiki, it's my biggest what if as a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets should have signed him. If the Mets signed A-Rod and everything played out the exact same way with the steroid stuff,
mm-hmm.
but he put up massive numbers,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, his number would be retired. Oh, my God, he'd be a legend
because
amongst Met fans.
There's no championships you're competing against.
Well, there's no championships you're competing against, and I think the Met fans would have adopted even the steroid stuff and said, well, he's our guy. We don't care, kind of like Giant fans eventually did with Barry Bonds. So the way your legacy is written, pending if you're a Met or a Yankee, it's just very different.
Yankee fans have absolutely embraced A-Rod after they own on. Oh, yes, they have.
His number has not been retired.
That's on the Yankee organization, and you know
that's
that.
That's because he sued the Yankees.
Exactly.
And there's also a lot of Yankee fans, as you certainly know, who have not accepted A-Rod.
The majority accept him.
A-Rod Day was controversial around here. Don't you remember?
That's an interesting statement you make, Evan, because he did help them win a championship. And it's hard to not remember that. It's hard not to give A-Rod his kudos for doing something that took a long time to come back.
No question. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 list, and we will get back to your calls in the 5 o'clock hour at 888-808-1019 and prepare you for what is one of the craziest sports days of the year this Saturday in New York City.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.